Colts have made their biggest move of the offseason. They signed former Chiefs pass rusher Justin Houston to a two-year deal worth $24 million. Seth, does this make the Colts offseason up to this point better than the Texans offseason?
I don't see how you could argue otherwise. Who have the Colts lost that they're wringing their hands over?
I can't think of anybody who they've lost. I mean, they're still working on a deal with Dontrell Inman, who hurt the Texans, but he was a guy who was really buoyed by Andrew Luck. That's right. Not like an impact player for them.
I think the Colts, who have even more cap space than the Texans at this moment, I believe, they were in the same boat as the Texans, where fans were wondering, all right, where the hell are the improvements? What are you doing to get better right now? And they hadn't done anything, really, just like the Texans haven't done anything to definitely get better. They replaced a couple of losses with question marks of their own. But this is like a step forward for the Colts. Justin Houston isn't nearly the guy he was at the peak of his powers. He's missed 20-some games over the last few years. But when he's out there and when he's playing, and I'm thinking they're going to use him situationally, they don't have to use him, you know, 65 snaps a game. He's going to provide a better pass rush. He's going to provide better edge run support. They're going to be a better defense because he's out there. So, yeah. The Texans, who struggled to move the ball at all in the playoff games versus the Colts, might have an even harder time next year.
I hate this. I really hate it. I mean, this is a guy who had 9.5 sacks last season, 9 sacks, whatever, in 12 games. That's really good. And who do you have as an answer for this guy on your offensive line?
Chantrell Henderson.
Julian Davenport as well. Yes. I mean, yeah, Mike. They clearly had a better offseason just by doing this, and I don't know what the Texans are going to do to stop a guy like this. You know, one of the things that I actually was somewhat comfortable about with the Indianapolis Colts was the idea that they were going to have to fix their pass rush in some way, shape, or form, and they really didn't do anything about it this offseason when there were guys available. They didn't give a big money contract to anyone. They didn't, as we talked about just a moment ago, try to trade for Jadeveon Clowney or anything like that. They were quiet, and I thought, okay, well, the Colts have a good offensive line, but they don't have a lot of weapons for Andrew Luck, and they don't have a really good defense in particular. They don't have the greatest pass rush, though, you know, put a lot of pressure on the Houston Texans. Now you're adding a guy who is good to the Colts pass rush, and I feel like now that allows Andrew Luck to have his own, maybe not Dwight Freeney, but Robert Mathis type of player to help him out should the Colts get big leads. He can pin his ears back and just run up the field.
I agree with you guys. I would love to disagree. The Colts have had a better offseason because they needed pass rush help, and this is somebody who I like sometimes when a team will take a sort of an aging, really good player or a great player who's a pass rusher, fresh start, squeeze a year or two out of him. I think this makes a lot of sense. On the bright side, I would have been more nervous if the Colts had traded for Dee Ford, which apparently, according to the Justin Houston stories, they were thinking about doing, but they opted against.
Did they opt against it, or did the Chiefs just not want to trade to the Colts?
I don't think it was that.
Okay.
I think it was just that the Colts just didn't trade for him, at least the way I read it. Dee Ford would have worried me more. Even if the Colts had signed Trey Flowers, that would have been more concerning for me as well. Just like a bigger move.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Wait, the Colts... Okay, so you're not concerned about Justin Houston because you're saying the Texans were already bad against the Colts defensive line.
But somehow
Trey Flowers would have concerned you more than Justin Houston.
Yes.
All right. Because
yes.
Trey Flowers is that awesome or that good?
Well,
I mean,
listen.
He's all right.
Well, the market.
He's a pretty good player, just like Justin Houston's a pretty good player.
The market, though, said that Trey Flowers was way
market?
More.
The market.
The market.
Dumbass that wants to replicate everything that New England is doing.
But Trey Flowers would have gotten pretty good money elsewhere, I imagine.
He wouldn't have gotten
Not that money.
Not that much money, but he would have gotten very good money.
He would have gotten a solid contract.
Solid contract.
Matt Patricia's over there freaking out, being like, the tough guy act isn't working. They're buying into the fact that I'm a fraud. I need to bring somebody over here that'll tell the guys. This is where Trey Flowers is in a tough position right now because Trey Flowers is the guy from New England that's coming in to Detroit, partly because Matt Patricia hopes that Trey Flowers will tell everybody, like, no, guys, it's cool. He really knows what he's doing. Stop plotting against him because you're practicing out in the snow.
Part of Trey Flowers signing that big contract is the understanding that he is going to have a PowerPoint presentation for the rest of the Detroit Lions. Yeah, I think you're right, Seth. I think they are bringing him in to say, the Patriot way works outside of New England, you guys!
Trust me, guys. Trust me. Patricia knows what he's doing.
As he nervously chews on his pencil, which for some reason he's... still uses.
So the point I've made this morning on Justin Houston, which I know I've not explained in the best way, is merely pointing out while it's a good move for Indianapolis, and yes, I agree with the premise that Indianapolis, after this signing, has had a better off season than the Texans have had. My only point is the Texans already had big issues protecting Deshaun Watson against Indianapolis. They allowed, I went back through this last night, they allowed 7 sacks, 5 sacks, and 3 sacks. At least they got a little better, but they allowed 27 quarterback hits. I would actually feel worse about it if the Texans had actually somehow been pretty good in this one area against Indianapolis, because then I'd say, okay, now they're likely to get worse, whereas I don't think they'll get way worse protecting Deshaun specifically against Indianapolis.
Well, now they're going to have more issues, Mike.
They will. I agree. They will have more issues.
I know, but I don't know how we could just be like, they had issues last season, but now there's more issues.
Well, and the excuse that I would make for Brian Gain and being so quiet about free agency, or actually two excuses. One is that it hasn't been a strong free agency class. Two, it's that you're saving up to pay guys in the future, including Deshaun Watson, but also guys on your roster right now, like DJ Reader and whatnot. And that's valid. Like, that's long-term planning. You've got to use that cap space to hem guys that are good players up, because you can get those guys at a discount right now. I guess the problem with that sometimes is that you also have to recognize where maybe you've made mistakes, or where you have to use free agency to make up for some of those mistakes. Like, great. Hey, DJ Reader's a good player. Awesome. You want to re-sign him. But you also did just spend, like, $4 million. You just gave a signing bonus to Angelo Blackson, as well as tendering offers to two other 3-4 defensive tackle types. Like, how much money are we going to spend on guys that look like a 3-4 defensive tackle from 1992. I don't know. Like, that's right. Like, you realize, like, that's not what wins championships in today's NFL. You're going to stop the run. Great. We'll be able to stop John Riggins in the playoffs. That's cool. We'll be able to pay DJ Reader. I'd also like to be able to rush the passer, and I'd like to be able to stop pass rushers. Can we get that?
Well, to this whole point, we got a text 713-572-4610. Considering the Colts signed someone who can make somewhat of a difference in the area they need to improve on the most, hell yes, they've been better than the Texans. Not one single new O-lineman has been signed. Hard to really disagree with that. This was Indianapolis' biggest need. They need to get after the quarterback more. Yes, Houston's not the same guy. Yes, he's older, but they can get a decent year or two.
And it's also a year that's replete with pass rushers in the draft and defensive linemen. So replete. The Colts,
yep.
Colts, there's a good chance that, for one, they don't have to reach on any of those guys if they don't fall to them. But there's still a chance that if they want to get a younger pass rusher, they can do that in the draft too. The Colts entered this draft much more able to just draft the best player available than the Texans do. That's been the biggest, I don't want to say failure just yet, but the biggest question mark about the way this offseason has been handled by the Texans is that they enter the draft with severe needs.
Yes.
Still, at offensive tackle and cornerback. And, man, it's hard to make correct decisions when you're desperate. That's what Brian Billick's old saying was, desperation is a horrible judge of talent. Well, they've got a whole lot of desperation right now. And it's going to be hard to make the correct call on taking the best player available when you so desperately need those players.
I mean, I'm looking at my notebook in front of me right now, because when Vandy was in the 8 o'clock hour, he talked about the draft and how they can get better. And I just wrote down the positional needs this team has right now. Offensive tackle, cornerback, running back, wide receiver, interior pass rusher, and it feels like Brian Gain is putting an awful lot of pressure on himself to fill all of those needs. And realistically, no matter how good you are as an NFL GM, you're not going to hit on every draft pick. They will draft guys this year who are not that good. And it's not because they're incompetent. It's because those are the probabilities, and that's the way it works in the NFL.
Right, really good, really, really. Bill Belichick makes horrible picks in the first three rounds all the time, because that's what happens. So there's a chance, like there's a 50% chance that if you draft an offensive tackle in the first round, he's not ready to play and also might never actually be a good starter in the NFL. And that's just because of where you're drafting in the draft. There's still time. There's still time to get a competent offensive tackle in free agency. There's guys out there, like guys that can at least be bodies, but none of them that you're going to feel really good about.
All right, let's put a bow on this conversation. We all agree Justin Houston was a good signing for Indianapolis, and so far it makes their offseason better than the Texans right now. I am concerned about facing Justin Houston, not quite as much as Seth and Paul are. We'll see what happens during the regular season. It is a Freddy's Friday on Sports Radio 610 at 9:55. Listen for the cue to call and be caller number 5 to win a 4-pack of Freddy's Combo Meals, all thanks to Freddy's Frozen Custard and Steak Burgers.